sounds like Denny, not Char.
Yeah, well, it is. I'm just calling in for just making up my wheatgrass.
I know that. Good. I miss that wheatgrass. Oh, I may have to get me a machine and start making some and growing it.
I'm on my $49 machine. It's not very expensive.
Is that
what has arrived?
That you hand crank?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And when you can swap arms, it really is good on the upper arm. So, yeah,
absolutely.
And it actually doesn't take any longer at all. In fact, it probably takes longer with the big one because you have to break it down. There's more to it.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. This one gets more out of the wheat than the big one does, too. So, hate to tell people that, but with convenience comes.
Well, you know, I think that's the one. They have a hand crank one at the Jamba Juice by the gym where I go.
Oh, really?
I think I saw her hand cranking it, yes.
Well, at that kind of a facility, I could see why they wouldn't want to spend anywhere from $300 to $500, although I think there's one for $125, but, you know, I don't know whether I'd invest in a cheap electric one because of the ease of doing this. This is so much faster. I mean, it... You know, I mean, it takes a little bit of muscle, but what the heck about that?
Yeah. Did you get that from Hippocrates, or did you buy that in town?
I got it from Tim, the guy from...
Has arrived.
But it's right on the internet. We've ordered two or three more since for other people.
Okay.
So, yeah, they're $49, and you get. I think if you get two of them, it's free shipping. It seems
okay.
Like that's what it was. And we needed two anyway because Nick wanted one and one of his friends wanted one, so.
So I can just look online and look at wheatgrass juicers or something?
Yeah, it's, I can give you the name off of it. Not right
okay.
This minute. I can give you the name off.
Okay. Yeah. I think it'll be great. Good. Somebody else joined us this morning?
Yeah, I heard somebody else too.
Yeah. Somebody else. Huh? All at once. Go ahead.
This is Elaine.
Hey, Elaine. How are you?
Okay. We're still pretty wet.
Oh, are you? Really? A lot of rain?
Yeah, we had still more rain and... In the 7-day forecast, there are five days that we are having a chance of rain.
Wow.
Well, it's better to say...
Has arrived.
Say that again, Char.
Oh, it's better to have it just be a chance of rain instead of a flood or solid rain.
Sure.
Well... One night we had 6 inches.
Oh, that's not a chance of rain.
No, that wasn't.
That would be a flood.
No. Yeah. We have flood warnings all over.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Good morning, everybody.
Hi, Anita.
Good morning, Anita.
Hey, can your daughter get out of Halstead?
I'm not sure. I know they closed the gate on the west side, so I'm not sure if she got out or not today.
Mm-hmm.
They've got one town here that they've got floodgates that they can close if it gets too high, that barricades the supposed to keep the water out of town.
But it sounds like it keeps the people in.
Yeah. Yes, they have to go south to get out, and then, of course, it's quite a few more miles, but hopefully they can get out if they have to.
Yeah.
That's scary.
It is.
It's still raining, so.
Wow. We had, here in Phoenix, day before yesterday, we had 84 degrees, and we had a nice gentle rain all day. It was like a breath of fresh air.
Mm-hmm.
So,
how far apart are you guys? I can't remember. Where you
from?
From
Phoenix.
How far is it from Heston onto your place, Elaine?
About 5-6 miles from Heston.
Okay, you're close.
Yeah.
Anita and I are 14.4 miles apart.
Okay.
Oh, cool. How about that?
Yeah.
Okay, I was going to say, are you in the same area? I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Good.
I knew that from being down there when I met you guys, so. But, I mean, I know you were both there, but I didn't know how close you were.
Mm-hmm. Had somebody try a piece of your protein fudge last night, Char. I had made last week my 52 pieces that are in the 8x8 pan. And she said, you know, this is really good. She goes, it's very rich. And I said, and that's why they're cut into little pieces like that. She said, yeah, she liked it a lot. She goes, oh, you made fudge. And I went, well, I made it several days ago. And, I have a little piece almost every day, you know, when I think about it, when it's in there. So,
you could, honey. Yeah, it's over here. Okay.
I made the green bean and, that green bean potato salad or whatever it was.
Oh, that's
so
good.
Delicious. Yeah.
Have you tried freezing any pieces of the fudge? That's nice too when it's hot.
No, I think I'll do that because there's quite a bit in there. And I thought, gee, I did let it sit out on the counter for about an hour, and it started to soften up quite a bit. When she had her, it was getting kind of, she could.
Send some more.
Has arrived.
Is that the one with the barf genie?
Yes.
Okay.
And I'm looking for the recipe because I know people are going to want it. And I scribbled it down on a, not in my notebook, but on a piece of paper.
Well, I certainly got it and send it down. I was holding off for another reason. I want to make it, and I want to try it, and I could get that done today, I'm sure. I want to try it without the bark so I can control the sugar more with the stevia. Now that the stevia is much better in flavor, and I just picked up some that was liquid. So when it was soft, it would be real easy to get it thinly distributed, and it was a 2-ounce bottle, good-sized bottle, I think it was, maybe it was even 4 ounces, for like $5 and something, really cheap on, and they have it flavored, and I've been playing with it in my fizzy water with, four drops in a whole pint of media with a smidgen, those little spoons that measure the smidgen pitch and whatever the other one is. Anyway, a smidgen of the citric acid, because I just thought, you know, why do I want to use Kool-Aid? I got that citric acid. There's no chemicals in that. It's clean, you know, all that stuff. So I want it too, and I've got people that want it, so I will take care of that one.
That's cool.
And give both adjustments on the recipe, Jeannie.
Okay. No, thank you. I think it's wonderful how you play with recipes. I really want to do that, and I do sometimes, but not in the way that you do. That's fun.
It is.
Yeah.
When I made the fudge, I used Baker's unsweetened baking chocolate instead of the almond bark. Did you use almond bark? Am I right on that?
Yes. I used both. So how did yours come out?
Well, I had never made it using the almond bark, so it turned out really good. But I didn't want to use almond bark because it has the partially hydrogenated palm kernel oil in it.
Yeah, ours doesn't. We've got some up here that doesn't have that, so it, you know, then it doesn't bother us. But what you know, the only thing is getting your and use coconut oil then in it.
Yes.
Okay. Is getting the you know, the amount so it doesn't get too soft too fast, that kind of thing.
Mm.
When it's not in refrigeration, because the almond bark will cause it to be a little stiffer, probably a little longer out of refrigeration.
Mm.
Gives you a little bit more leeway there. I want to do it and just see the difference between the two.
Mm-hmm.
That's
yeah.
Really picky, but and knowing that the coconut oil is going to be better than whatever they put in there for oil. I can't remember what the oil was, but.
Mm-hmm. Good. I had an article here off the Newsmax Health. I subscribe to Blaylock's newsletter, and these all come, but one that caught my attention was President Bush, you know, had a George W. Bush had a stent placed in his heart the other day. And they say it's probably the stress was a key factor. And it talks, you know, he's recovering fine and all of that kind of stuff. But his doctor, Dr. Crandall, Chauncey Crandall, who's one of the nation's top cardiologists, said that Bush will likely make a full recovery if he goes on a plant-based diet and makes other changes, like leading a life of less stress. He should live out his normal lifespan. I thought that was pretty cool. That's pretty good.
We're hearing more and more and more from top places, aren't we, guys?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I guess you need to talk to Clinton about that one.
Yeah.
Well,
and they were talking about this happens a lot of times with presidents, that once they leave their office, it shows up several years.
You're meaning Nancy what? Because he did, too. He did plant-based.
Yeah.
Yeah, he went on it after. Mm-hmm. And he had a quadruple bypass 4 years after he left the office of president.
Clinton, you're talking about.
And McDougal tried to get a hold of him and have him not go through that because he knew sent him letters. I remember him reading the letter that he sent him when we were down there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, interestingly, last night, I was watching a week ago, Monday, the 29th, I think it was, which was a new one. And halfway through, he had Joel Fuhrman on. And for the first time, Joel actually said, we didn't talk about it when I was on the call last week, so I don't know if he did Thursday or Friday, but I don't think so. He actually says that you can have 1 to 2 ounces of animal protein, but if you have it today, tomorrow go no animal. So every other day you legitimately are okay doing that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, some of his is so geared to trying to get new people in his book. He's got some of the same stuff.
You're better off doing it that way than saying no animal and you're not going to do
right.
It. Agree.
Right, which is good. It's very good.
Yeah.
Would that fall into the China study where he said 5%?
Probably over 2 days it would.
Yeah.
And now?
You know, what he showed it was such tiny pieces cut up in a salad.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is, yeah.
What's interesting, the way they showed what happens to cholesterol, too, whether it's cholesterol you're eating or cholesterol that your body is making and how it lumps together.
Oh. That was a new show, did you say, Nancy?
It was a new one a week ago, Monday. That was the only new one in these 2 weeks.
Okay.
Thank goodness.
Yeah. Catch up on some of these.
Well, that would be very stressful to have to watch a new one.
I need to get a recording machine. That's what I would like. I still don't have a DVR or any of that. In light of our sleep system promotion too. There's another article, Health Sleep Loss Aids to Weight Gain. And there's a new study. They were talking about how sleep deprivation has on the brain. You know, and I think of our body, Ken's and vital balance too with all of this. The research showed that depriving people of sleep for one night created, well, let's see, a new study suggests that one reason may be the impact, losing sleep tends to make people eat more and gain weight, and now a new study suggests that one reason may be the impact that sleep deprivation has on the brain. The research showed that depriving people of sleep for one night created pronounced changes in the way their brains responded to high-calorie junk foods. On days when the subjects had not had proper sleep, fattening foods like potato chips and sweets stimulated stronger responses in a part of the brain that helps to govern the motivation to eat. But at the same time, the subjects experienced a sharp reduction in activity in the frontal cortex, a higher level part of the brain where consequences are weighed and rational decisions are made. And I thought of Roger's teaching, is the sugar CD, that isn't it is robbed there in the front part of the brain when we have sugar and all that, not enough protein in the morning. Sleepy brain appears to not only respond more strongly to junk food, but also has less ability to rein that impulse in. The relationship between sleep loss and weight gain is a strong one, borne out in a variety of studies over the years. Large population studies show that both adults and children are more likely to be overweight and obese the less they sleep at night. In smaller controlled studies, scientists find that when people are allowed to sleep 8 hours one night and then half that amount on another, they end up eating more on the days when they've had less sleep. One pivotal study at the University of Colorado in March showed that losing just a few hours of sleep a night, a few nights in a row, caused people to pack on an average of 2 pounds. Other studies have found that the underlying effects of sleep deprivation on the body can in more ways be pronounced. But the stress hormone cortisol climbs, and markers of inflammation rise. Hormones that stimulate appetite increase while hormones that blunt it drop. People become less sensitive to insulin, raising the risk of type 2 diabetes. But until now, few, if any, studies have looked at precisely what goes on in the brain when people are starved of sleep and then faced with food decisions. In the new study, which was published in the journal Nature Communications, Dr. Walker and his colleagues recruited 23 healthy men and women and assigned them to two different regimes, each separated about a week. On one occasion, the subjects came into the lab and got a normal night of rest, roughly 8 hours, before waking up to a small breakfast of toast and strawberry jam. The subjects then looked at 80 pictures of a variety of foods and were asked to rate how strongly they wanted them while an imaging machine measured brain activity. The subjects were told that after looking through the pictures, they would receive one of the foods that they rated the highest. On another occasion, the subjects followed the same routine, but this time, instead of sleeping, they stayed awake through the night. They were also given snacks like apples and peanut butter crackers to offset any extra calories that they burned while staying awake. The research showed that when the subjects were bleary-eyed and sleep-deprived, they strongly preferred the foods that were highest in calories like desserts, chocolate, and potato chips. Sleepier they felt, the more they wanted the calorie-rich foods. In fact, the foods they requested when they were sleep-deprived added up to about 600 calories more than the foods they wanted when they were well-rested. At the same time, brain scans showed that on the morning after the subject's sleepless night, the heavily caloric foods produced intense activity in an almond-shaped structure called the amygdala, A-M-Y-G-D-A-L-A, which helps regulate basic emotions as well as our desires for things like food and experiences. That was accompanied by a sharp reduced responses in cortical areas of the frontal lobe that regulate decision-making, providing top-down control of the amygdala and other primitive brain structures. Dr. Kenneth Wright called the findings exciting and said that they help explain why people make poor dietary choices and eat much more when they tend to be when they're fatigued. There's something that changes in our brains when we're sleepy that's irrespective of how much energy we need. The brain wants even more, even when energy has been fulfilled. But why would a lack of sleep disrupt the brain response to food? Dr. Walker said he suspected that one factor that plays a role is a substance called adenosine, a metabolic byproduct that disrupts neural function and promotes sleepiness as it accumulates in the brain. One of the ways that caffeine stimulates wakefulness is by blocking adenosine, A-D-E-N-O-S-I-N-E. Adenosine is also cleared from the system when we sleep. Without enough rest, adenosine builds up and may start to degrade communication between networks in the brain. Getting sleep may be the equivalent of rebooting the brain. And then at the end he said, Dr. Walker said it's increasingly clear from the medical literature that there's not a single tissue in the body that is not beneficially affected by sleep. It's the single most effective thing people can do every day to reset their brain and their body health.
You know, that is so exact, and I thought, am I just weird or what? Why do I have, when I stay up late at night, now, if I know that I'm leaving on a trip, I know I can't put anything that's got sugar in it at all. I mean, chocolate or anything else. And, if I'm at home and I'm just going through a normal routine and it's late, I can do that because I don't have the pressure. Well, that one I know, so I can't buy late at those times. I've got to do just whole foods that take a long time to, you know, a slower release in the body. But undoubtedly, if it's just a night at home, it's always something that has some kind of something that I wouldn't normally be eating, okay? I mean, I guess can't say I wouldn't normally be eating, but I wouldn't be eating at that time of the night because I would be asleep.
Mm-hmm.
And it usually is soft. But fortunately, I can control the amount. I don't have to keep eating it and eating it and eating it. Thank you, Lord. But, you know, because I could see where people would really get into problems with the weight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What were you reading that from, Jeannie?
This is from, I subscribe to Dr. Blaylock's newsletter.
Okay.
And so this comes from NewsmaxHealth.com.
Is it possible to send me that article?
Yeah, I can. I think I can forward it here. I can email.
That would be
email
great.
It. I can
forward it. Forward it to me too, Jeannie.
Okay. Yeah, I just thought some of the stuff I just get rid of. I get one every day or something. I'm like, I don't have time for that. But every now and then the little thing will catch my attention. You know, so.
Actually, the Oz I was talking about, the title of it was something to do with, is your sleeping pill killing you or something? I mean, and it was, there are different kinds of sleeping pills for different issues. Do you have problems falling asleep? Do you have problems staying asleep? And it was interesting to watch the initial, you know, the first, like, almost half hour of the program.
Mm.
But then he had Furman on after that. So thank you. Sleep is, I always, you know, when we first started talking about people who are sleep deprived gain weight, you would think it was because they were up eating, but there's certainly more to it. And that's part of it too, but there is more to it anyway.
Are you still sbcglobal.net?
Yes, thank you.
Okay, and Onita, I have you here.
Oh. Why don't I send you one, and then you can just send it back to me?
Oh, you know, I do have you here. I'm on a different email. Okay, never mind.
And that's the FCC Global, so, yeah.
Yeah. I have two different emails, and I'm on the wrong one that has yours, so no problem. I'll send it to you.
All right. So, Nancy, after you get it, Nancy, will you put it out for us?
I can do that.
Yeah, Nancy.
I can do that, yeah.
There we go. Thank you.
Sure.
I just thought it was great, you know, and just that closing comment, which I've heard before on the, you know, is that the single most effective thing people can do every day to reset their brain and their body health is sleep. And in light of our sleep system promotion and all of that, I have a friend who reminded me that it's a gal that she and I knew a long time in the 80s. And her husband has been, he's a doctor of some sort, I don't remember what, but he's retiring from that to do sleep studies. And I went, oh my goodness, they live in Georgia. So I wanna hook him up with our, ask him if he's aware of our sleep system, you know. So that caught my attention on that one too.
One comment that was made on that sleep program was it's not only the number of hours you sleep, it's your quality of sleep.
Right, exactly.
Which is interesting. You always think, well, gee, I have to get 7 hours now. It's the quality, and you can be disturbed by environmental things, a snoring partner, your alarm clock, the light from the alarm, or actually just looking at the clock every time you wake up is not good. They said turn it around, put it someplace else in the room. A light from a clock or a night light. These are all disturbances that, before you go to bed, this is interesting. You know, most of us will go in the bathroom and brush our teeth and whatever we're doing there, and we turn the big light on. That's not good because it tells melatonin that, oh, it's daytime. Get up.
Yes.
You should have a soft light. You're going to read before you go to bed. Max of 20 minutes and light stuff, not a, you know, nothing that's true to life that's going to get the brain running. Interesting stuff.
You know, I don't know how people can read on our sleep system.
I don't know.
I read my simple abundance every night, so that's my reading before I go to bed.
It's short, isn't it, Nancy?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's not going to run you 20 minutes, is it?
No, and it's uplifting. It's not going to make me think after I close the book. You know, what do I have to do to solve it? He said no self-help stuff. This is sort of, but it's not.
Right.
It's not going to keep
you awake. Yeah, a lot of times I'm just looking at stuff that's very light, you know, that even has pictures on it that is relaxing because that's what I want. At that time, I don't even want to think about anything.
And don't use an eye reader because that's too bright.
I don't use those things still.
Oh, like the book lights?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I don't have one.
You want a soft light that's not real bright that is going to not tell your body that it's time to get up, but that it's really time to go to sleep.
Yeah, I put a night light on even in the bathroom that is just, you know, one of those 7-watt bulbs.
Right.
And that's the only thing that goes on at night when you know, Denny, well, it doesn't even go on. I mean, it's just on. Using the restroom and stuff. And I know that he wanders in there and has even trouble remembering how many times he's, you know, been up.
Mm-hmm. But sleeping with a sleep mask certainly blocks that off away.
Right.
You know, I had put on our alarm in our house, and Gracie wakes up usually about 5 o'clock, and I got up and I turned it off, and the light that is on the alarm, it's blue. It's bright, very bright on my eyes. And after that, I go back to sleep if I want to go back to sleep.
I was
so that
red. But it's not that bright.
Well, I had something happen last night that's never happened before, and I'm going, oh, this shocked me. I'd just gone to sleep, and the amber alarm went off on my cell phone that's laying as, you know, far from my head as I can get it and still reach it. And I reached over, and I thought, what? Danny says, what in the world is that? And I said, I have no idea. And then when you go to turn it off by opening your phone, it disappears, so you don't know what it is. So a few minutes later, it went off again, and I looked at it, and it was that guy that abducted. Well, they think the husband killed his wife and then abducted the two children, and so evidently they had a strong lead on him or something, and it just said, you know, California, and gave an area that he was supposedly seen in so people could be alerted. But I'm like, oh, my gosh, I got to turn this off for the night. I don't need any more of those coming through. that, you know, it's when technology develops these things, I mean, in one sense, I thought, oh, my gosh, look how cool that is. Everybody in that area that's got a cell phone is going to get this information. And, you know, anybody working swing shift or out on the roads or whatever time it was, you know, would have it. I thought, but at the same token, you don't want to be woke up in the middle of the night for something that's nowhere near where you are. Mm-hmm. They also have it's two government alarms on there. That's got to be something that was recently downloaded or else something that had never been used before because it's never, ever come in on my phone. Has anybody ever had it come in?
I have.
Have you? Okay, the government alarm would be something like flooding or something, which could save a lot of lives in putting it out, especially if it was in the middle of the night and people wouldn't normally be hearing the news or whatever, or earthquakes or, you know, whatever, if they could get it out.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a good thing, you know, that it made me think of it wasn't all negative.
Yep.
Only to
me. The morning.
The other morning at 1:02
a.m., my cell phone went off, warning of the floods here.
Yeah. Yeah, what a thing to be able to reach people that way.
Really? That's using it to a good advantage. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And, you know, as long as they don't overuse it, and like I said, that's the first time it's ever happened, so.
Wow. Well,
something like that's okay, but if somebody rings your number and, you know, it's the wrong number or something like that at 2 a.m., it's really irritating.
Well, you can turn, I think the way mine works, I know it is, I can turn it on silent, and it will turn off the ringer of the phone, but it will not turn off the alerts.
This is on the landline, so you can't do that.
Okay, yeah, I know what you're saying, yeah, for sure.
Because I've got a landline by the bed, so. Anyway.
Well, good call. Anybody have I have a question to ask about the lemons. I haven't looked at Whole Foods yet, but I can't find any organic lemons, which is, Sprouts didn't have any. So, I thought about maybe peeling some of the lemon off and then freezing it. I don't know, or just go ahead and use it.
Janie, I don't think they're high on the, I don't think the citrus is high on the pesticide load. I think just try one or two of them and not worry about it. Just scrub them really good. For that amount, I don't think I would worry about it because I'm pretty certain they're not high on the, pesticide load.
Yeah, either the doctor, as I saw when they were using the outside of the lemon, they were grating it into something. They did say try to get organic for that. You know, I'm with you, Char. If you're using such a little bit amount every day or not even every day, go for it.
Yeah, until I can find them. When I find them, I'll pick them up, you know, but I just...
Because we're getting them regularly up here right now.
You can grow your own, Jeannie.
Well, my neighbor has beautiful lemons, but they're not ready yet. So we'll do that. You know, they always say, come on over and get them anytime. And they're beautiful, giant lemons.
We usually
have a giant. Mm-hmm. So I will freeze them when that happens, because now that I know that.
Yeah,
but they're not quite
in
yet.
To me, that's one of the coolest ideas or tips I have seen come up for, preservation, and also because how hard is it to throw lemons, the whole thing in? You know, the peel is going to protect them from any freezer burn. You're not going to get freezer burn on the peel, I don't think. I did it, I did it over and over with tomatoes all the time. Let them sit in there for a year without ever wrapping them. Because the peel, until there was a prick in the peel, there was no freezer burn on anything. And the skin on those slides off. So, you know, just a reminder on the tomatoes, which will be coming into season around here, you know, very shortly.
She just put them in whole?
I just put them in whole on a empty sheet, and I left them sitting there for the whole year. And they were absolutely fine. You could pull them out if you wanted, if you didn't mind, you know, you could throw the, just rinse them off. Well, I rinsed them anyway before I put them in, obviously, but you don't even need to rinse them. But if there's no prick, you don't have anything to clean off. If there's a little hole in the skin, it's going to get a little freezer burn right around that hole. So I, while it was frozen, would just cut that little piece out and then throw them in the blender, and you've got tomato sauce.
Yeah, oh, that's great.
And it tastes so good when it's fresh, and especially if it's in something that you're not cooking and you're using raw. Oh, my gosh. I mean, it. And when you're getting, like Nancy does, vine-ripened tomatoes. And one other thing I could see a huge difference in is when I buy the ones that are on the vine that will go ahead and ripen on my counter, never put them in the refrigerator, leave them at room temperature. And I, you guys probably all know this already, but they ripen just beautifully. And you have to watch it because they'll turn, you know, they'll go too fast, or maybe they won't all come out exactly even on that one vine. But around here now, there's practically no difference in the cost. And that's not one that you have to be concerned with the pesticide load. From the last time I looked at it anyway, it wasn't anywhere near the top of the list as far as the Dirty Dozen.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So, you know, just a reminder.
Good. Thank you.
You're not supposed to refrigerate tomatoes.
Pardon?
You're not supposed to keep tomatoes in the refrigerator.
Right, right. And unless they're at the point where they're really ripe and you're trying to hold them a little bit longer, you know, a day or two. That's the only time I put them in the refrigerator.
So you just freeze them whole? Is that what you do with them, Char?
Freeze them whole. I take the stem off, and that's it. I guess you could even leave the stem on it to hold it together better if it was, you know, a really ripe one. I would just clip the. I'd try just clipping the stem right, you know, a quarter of an inch from the flesh of the tomato. And
that's it.
Pardon?
I mean, we can use them for lots of stir fries and everything after that.
Oh, yeah. You can put them in anything. I mean, they're going to be softer than they would if they were fresh. I wouldn't use them in a salad, of course.
No, but
they're just too watery. But anything that you're going to, you know, and Danny likes a lot of tomatoes, for which I'm glad. He likes them in everything, anything and everything, just about like mushrooms. So I've got a new recipe, but not today. If Monty's not here tomorrow, I'll give it. That was really a weird salad, but it's really good. I would never have made it if it had not been for one of Furman's recipes.
Oh.
It's just too strange. Anyway, you're at the end here. And it would violate, you know, some of the principles of some of the other doctors, like Hippocrates, when he's working with critically ill people, and he's really tight on the combining of foods, and I'm not so tight on the combining of foods at this point. Although that is a fruit, but it's mixed with fruit, and I have to look at his guidelines. I don't have that all memorized.
Okay.
Well, oh, there. Sorry.
Okay. Any last minute?
Good information, Jeannie. Thank you.
Yeah, very good.
Thanks for everyone. Have a great rest of the day then, and, we'll be back tomorrow.
Thank you.
Didn't have a recipe for anybody. I've tried nothing new lately. You don't already know
about one.
Okay. All right. Take care, everybody.
Thanks.
Bye.
Thanks,
Jean. Has left the conference.
Eddie.
Has left the conference.
To learn more about NECAN, we encourage you to contact the person who suggested you listen to this information.